Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. How are you? Good, good. All right. Well, I'm very privileged today to be able to come and share the final message of this I Choose series. Now, it started off with Pastor John. He spoke about discipline. I choose discipline over regret. And Pastor John's actually in Canada at the moment. I know you're all hanging out for the Kaya and John show. Maybe we'll have one more. It's okay. All right. So don't get too worried about that. After that, we had the amazing Sid. She talked about surrender over control. And then last week, Pastor Mike talked about purpose over popularity. And today I'm going to be finishing up talking about choosing important over the urgent. All right. And I want to say that in some ways what I'm going to share with you this morning is nothing new. It is a message that we kind of hear a lot. But my prayer is that you either get some type of fresh revelation or that God may ask you to step into some type of action. But most importantly, that you will go into a deeper intimacy into your relationship with the Father. So I'm going to start off by praying and then I'll get into the message. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are already here with us, that you're in this room, that you're right beside us, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you'll speak to every single person in this room individually. Lord, you know their needs, you know their desires of their heart. You know their burdens and their worries that they've come into this room with. And Lord, I just pray that we will feel your peace, that we'll feel your love come upon us. And Lord, just, yeah, speak to us all. Teach us about your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to start off by sharing a little confession. And this confession may lead you to be disappointed in me. It may lead you to not like me anymore. It may lead you to question whether my mum was a bad parent. But my confession is that I can't cook, okay? I can't cook. I don't like cooking. Probably the best thing I ever made is an omelette because there's the least ingredients, the least amount of dishes to be done. I actually enjoyed baking a lot when I was younger, when I was a teenager. And I would bake, because I got a sweet tooth, I would bake cookies and I'd bake cakes and I would eat them after I made them. And then when I was 16, I remember my mum sat me down, and if you've met my mum, she's like the most gentlest person. And she was like, "Kaya, love, I love all these things you're cooking, but if you're going to bake, you have to clean up afterwards." And that was the last time I've ever baked anything, just to be honest. And as I'm getting a bit older and I'm still single, I was like, maybe it's because I can't cook. So recently, when I was in Thailand and I love Thai food, I was like, oh, I might as well try taking a Thai cooking class and maybe things will change. So we've got a little photo here to prove that this actually happened. Now, the lady who led the classes, her name was Poo. Okay, so hence that apron. All right, we didn't actually cook with Poo. This is a beautiful Thai green curry. And while I was enjoying this experience, I thought about this. Could I actually take this back home and make it? And then as I looked down for each meal that we created, everything was cut out for me. I just had to put it in. Sometimes they would even chuck stuff in. I was like, what are you putting in there? I don't know what you're doing. Then afterwards, the dishes would be gone and cleaned by someone else. And I was like, I just can't. This is not possible if I have to clean the dishes. So before you think that I'm actually lazy and that I hate cleaning dishes, just know that if you ever invite me over to your house to cook, I will clean the dishes as a thank you. It's not that I hate cleaning dishes. But I ask myself, what is the issue? Why do I hate cleaning dishes? And the real issue that I realize is that it's a time thing. I love to have my day planned out by the minute. I love to be busy. I love to always be going from one thing to the next. My mum actually calls me the Flash, because that's as much as she sees of me, my hair flying off in the wind as I go through. I love to keep busy. And my guess is that most of you, if you don't love being busy, you find yourself being busy more than you would like to. And we start saying things like this, and maybe you can relate to some of these. There's never enough time in the day. I'm always so busy. I never get anything done. I feel so tired, worn out, burnt out. And you come to the end of the week and you're like, wow, I really was trying to spend time with my family this week and it just didn't happen. Or I was really hoping to spend some deeper time with God and that just didn't happen. And the reason why that is, and you've probably heard this saying before, is that we live in a microwave world. We live in a very fast-paced world. And we want things on demand. We want things to happen at our pace. When we're driving, the person that's driving in front of us is never going fast enough. When we're walking through the shopping center, there's people in our way because they're stopping us from getting to where we're trying to go. We live constantly in this fast-paced world thinking that that's the norm and that's the way we have to live. But then over here, we have a crock pot, and otherwise known as a slow cooker. And this was familiar to me growing up. My mum is from Finland, so she would like to make these deep, heavy, hearty stews in the crock pot very often. And I would come home from basketball training and I was like, the whole house would be smelling really nice. And I would go to eat because I was so hungry. And then my mum would be like, no, Kaya. Like, that's tomorrow's dinner. And I'll be like, what the heck? Like, it's right here. It smells good. It's hot. And she'd be like, no, it has to cook overnight. There's something about when the meat is cooked slowly over time and with the stew and the other things they put in there, that when these all mix together, that it tastes delicious, that it tastes different to how it would be cooked if it was cooked in the microwave. Isn't that right, Rob? Doesn't taste the same. We serve a crockpot God in a microwave world. Our God is like this. His timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. And there's something about when we go into His timing and are willing to mix with Him and spend time with Him, that we get changed. There's a story, a very familiar story in the Bible that expresses this. And it's in the book of Luke in chapter 10. And Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem and he decides to stop at Martha's house. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. This reminds me of when I was younger. I know I look young, but when I was younger, at home, my dad was very busy. He worked a lot, like a lot of dads. And I knew the best time that I could have with my dad was Saturday mornings, when he would be relaxing and enjoying like the quietness of the Saturday morning. And my brother and I would go and sit and just listen to him and chat, and it was a lot of fun. Until Mum walked in. And Mum would walk in, and this gentle, nice mum that I have was gone. And she'd be like, guys, how can you just be sitting here? It's 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. The dishes aren't being done. The cleaning's not. There's gardening outside to be done. How can you just sit here? And we knew that our time with our dad was up. How often do we do that? Those things that needed to be done needed to be done. But was there something more important happening there? We would do what Martha did. If the king came in to our house, or Donald Trump, maybe not Donald Trump, Someone we respected came in to our house. We would do what Martha did. We would want everything to be clean. We would want to put our best meal on, or for me, take out the best meal to bring to that important person, because we wanted to do our best, right? And there's nothing wrong with those things. Those things are in some ways important. But how did Jesus reply to Martha? He said in verse 41, "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it won't be taken away from her.'" Martha missed out on this because she was so concerned with the doing and the urgent, that things that seemed urgent in that time. What this story shows me is that we can have two reactions. See, in life, you can have already your day planned out, and there's things that need to get done. But often in a day, we will get like a phone call or, you know, a message or an email, and it'll be a demand that we weren't expecting, or a problem will arise that we weren't expecting. And all of a sudden, we have to make a decision of how we're going to respond to that demand or that expectation. And most of us, if we're honest, we live in the reactive. And what we do with the reactors is we take this problem, chicken stock, we take this, only thing I could find in my cupboard, we take the chicken stock, our issue, our problem, our demand, we chuck it in the microwave. We know that it should probably take about 5 minutes, but, you know, that's waiting too long. So we put 2 minutes on the microwave, then we stare and watch the microwave, thinking that if we stare at it, it's going to go quicker. I think I'm not the only one that does that. And then 1.5 minutes into it, we're like, yep, it's ready, and we take it out, and we're like, we're done. And we think in this moment that in this reactive state, that we turn to our own human understanding of what needs to be done. What's the natural response? What should I do? What can I do to fix this issue or fix this demand? Yet in the Bible, I never see Jesus living that way. I never see Jesus walking around anxious or worried or living frantically worried about what's next or who he hasn't met with. When the crowds come, he doesn't be like, oh my goodness, the crowds again, go away, I've got to get out of here. No, he has a different response. He is responsive. He reacts differently. And we read about this in John 5, of how he lives this responsive life. It says, "So Jesus explained, 'I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also.'" Jesus always lived and walked in response to the Father. He was never trying to walk ahead of the Father. He was never lagging behind the Father. He was able to sit and wait. And then as the Father moved, he moved. Because he had spent so much time in intimacy with the Father, you hear about him in the mornings going and praying. Then he was able to know what the Father wants, and he was able to respond in that. But how do we do that? Because the reality is that in your day, there are things that need to be done. There's the kids that need to go to school. There's that doctor's appointment you need to get to. There are just naturally things that need to happen. So how can we live this life of response and choosing the important and getting stuck in dealing with this reactive, urgent state? These are just three things that I have learned and try to apply to my life, and hopefully at least one of them can help you in remaining in what's most important. And the first one is to plan rest in your day, your week, your month. And often when we think of rest, we think of sleep, okay? It's not just sleep. While sleep is important, it's not just sleep. In your day, there's three seasons to one day: morning, afternoon, and evening. Out of those three seasons, which of those are you spending in rest? If you find yourself in a state of work at all three, then you're not getting any rest. What do you need to change to make sure that one of those seasons isn't rest? In your week, the Sabbath is not something that we talk about a lot these days, but it's something that still is very important. But often we think that the Sabbath is just stopping work, like just not doing work. But it's actually a lot more than that. Originally in the tradition, the Sabbath was three things. It was families coming together to eat a meal. The second thing was that they would spend time reflecting on what the Lord had done for them during that week and worshiping God. And then the third one was that they would spend time blessing their children, speaking words of life over their children. How can you, in your week, incorporate the Sabbath, that time of rest? What's that day or maybe that night that you can spend with your family doing that? Planning rest in your month, in your year, to take time away from the usual rhythms of your life. Planning rest. The second one, which goes very nicely alongside of it, is be ruthlessly selective in your yeses. I'm not sure if yeses is a word, but yeses. For a lot of us, it's hard to say no to things. And for sometimes that is for bad reasons, for negative reasons, because sometimes we're trying to climb up the ladder. Sometimes we are trying to impress people or live out a performance. So we find it hard to say no. But most of the time, the reason we find it hard to say no is because the things that we're asked of, we actually want to do. They're fun things. There's people's invites to birthdays and to spending time one-on-one with people, and they're all good things. But if we did everything, we'd have no time left. We'd miss out on this time, the most important time with God. So how do we know what to say yes to? And the way that helps me is I think of it in this way. What energizes me and who energizes me? What de-energizes me and who de-energizes me? Naturally in life, we're going to have to do things that de-energize us. However, we want to do that as least as possible. So we focus as much as we can on what energizes us. So when a demand comes at me or someone asks me to do something, I think, is this going to energize me? Because if I'm living in a state of energy, then I'm doing my best for other people. I'm able to give my best to other people. So I'm really selective in what I say yes and no to. And if I've planned my day out and if I've planned my rest out, then it's easier to say no as well. The third point, which also aligns with these two, is do first what matters most. Do first what matters most. What is the most important thing to you? Maybe it is work. Maybe it's family. Or maybe it is God. Do that first. Decide what is most important. Do that first. One way that I do that, my time with God is, for me, the most important thing. So I work backwards from that time with God. So every day, the day before, I plan my next day. So let's say I have to be here at work at 10 a.m. So I write in the notes in my phone, 10 a.m. It's going to take me half an hour to get here. So I'm going to leave at 9:30. And then it takes me half an hour to get ready to make this hair look good. So I leave at 9. And then exercising is really important to me. And I allow about 45 minutes to exercise. So that takes me to 8:15. And then I want to spend at least an hour with God in the morning. So that takes me to 7:15. So I set my alarm for 7. Then I make sure that I get 7 to 8 hours rest every night. So then I ensure that tonight I'll go to bed at 11 p.m. And that's how I do every day. And I don't let anyone touch any aspect of that, because I know if I'm those things that energize me, it means that I'm coming to work each day at my best. It means that in my relationship with you, when I'm talking to you, I'm at my best. Those things are the most important. Those things help me to stay grounded in God, so that when the demands come, I can be already rested in the Father of who He is. If you remember that verse, Martha chose the urgent, and Mary chose the important. And what did Jesus say? That Mary has chosen what is better and that it will not be taken away from her. When we choose God, when we choose to align our lives up with what's really important, then no demand, no stress, nothing can take away that important thing, that relationship with God. I'm not sure if you realize this, but our whole lives, every experience that we have, whether positive or negative, whether painful or joyful, is not actually about the result that comes afterwards, whether we get what we want or not. Every single one of our experiences is actually about a relationship with the Father. He's trying to teach you something about His character. He's trying to teach you something about you as His child. But so often, because we live here, we don't get to allow Him to teach us anything. But if we remain here and simmer with Him, remain in that intimate space with Him, then we'll allow ourselves to learn what He's really trying to teach us in those experiences. The great thing about this, even though the timing can be painful, that we're not seeing the results that we want, there is a promise in this. And the greatest promise that God gives us in the Bible is that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He says, "Surely I am with you to the end of the age." He is with us, even when we don't feel like it. He is there and He's doing something. He is a God that is for you. He's working in your favor, whether you see it or not. So my question to you today is, what will you choose? Can you recognize maybe that you're living like a Martha? And maybe you want to live more like a Mary? What is that action step that you can take to change your daily life and your daily rhythm so that you can live in the important? But I think for some of you, you have been waiting on God for something. Maybe you've been waiting for God to show up. That you've been praying for some things for a very long time. Maybe that is for a spouse. Maybe that is for a child. Maybe it is for your financial situation to change. Maybe it is something, an issue that you're currently having with your child, and you're like, "God, I'm praying about this. Why can't I see any change?" And you're wondering where God is in all of that. His promise to you today is that He is with you, that He'll never leave you, and that He is doing something in the waiting. Just because it may not be happening in the timing that we want, it doesn't mean that He's not working. And I want to encourage you this morning to remain here, to know that He is good, that this can never be taken away from you. We're going to sing a song in response. And this song's called Take Courage. And it's almost a song to like talk back to our soul, to talk back to ourselves, to take courage that He is faithful, that when we can't see things happening the way we want to, that He is faithful. So during this time, I want you to maybe consider where you're at with the urgent and with the important. And maybe it's a letting go of something that you've been like really struggling and praying for and being like, "God, I give it back to you. I trust that you're moving." Let me pray for you before we go into this song. Father, we thank you for that ultimate promise that you are always with us. Lord, I pray that you will show us our love, your love for us today, that we'll get to experience you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God, that you are working for us. And Lord, today may we take a step into trusting in you again, Lord. Believing that you are who you say you are. That you are that faithful God. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.